WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this hump day. That's right, it is Wednesday, September 28th, 2016. I trust you all are having a great week thus far. Two more days into the weekend. Hang in there, all right? We plan on spicing up your week a little bit here on the show today as we have a jam-packed show, like we always do, right? On today's show, though, we will invite not one, but two guests throughout this 60 minutes. We will invite, of course, our dear friend, Mr. Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster and author, who will break down the chances of the Detroit Tigers possibly making the playoffs, okay? Of course, the Tigers are trying to shoot for a wild card berth in the American League, and it was a big, big win for this team last night. Not so much for, not so much a big game for the Indians, seeing as though they've already clinched the American League Central, but, you know, the D needed this one, okay? If they have any shot at making their playoff dreams come true, they got to just handle business against the Indians, and then, of course, they will embark on a weekend series against the Braves. So Richard Kincaid will break it all down for us. Also, later on in the show, we will invite Dr. Joseph Parent, who's been on the show before. He is a famed PGA Tour instructor. Dr. Parent is going to comment on the death of Arnold Palmer, one of the greatest golfers of all time, a true icon of the sport. You don't want to miss that chat. And on the back end of the show, we will talk about what must Tyler O'Connor do in order to put that horrible outing against Wisconsin in the rearview mirror as Michigan State football now looks forward to taking on Indiana on the road on Saturday night. All of that and so much more. But hey, you know how we start this party. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. And we start with the Detroit Tigers. Justin Verlander helped the Tigers to a 12-0 victory over the Cleveland Indians last night. With the Indians coming off their division-clinching win on Monday night, the Tigers faced a depleted Cleveland lineup without some of its star players. Now, Verlander pitched 7 2/3 innings, allowing just 4 hits and striking out 12 batters. Miguel Cabrera fell a triple short of the cycle for the 33rd time in his career, collecting 5 RBIs in the game. Justin Upton added a 3-run shot to give him 29 long balls on the year. Nick Castellanos made his return from the disabled list with a pinch-hit double in the 8th inning. Now, with Baltimore losing to Toronto last night, Detroit is now 1 game in back of the second wild card spot with 5 games to go. Michael Fulmer takes the mound tonight for the Tigers as the Indians will start Zach McAllister. Moving on to the Detroit Lions. Good news for Detroit Lions fans who stay glued to their smartphones throughout the game. This past Monday, Ford Field and Verizon broke ground on a new project, faster Wi-Fi. That's right, Verizon is working to install the new Wi-Fi system as soon as possible. Now, the project should be completed before the first of the year. Verizon's network executive director, Abby Knoll, said, quote, "We listen to the fans, and we want to bring them the best experience at every home game," end quote. Even if that means they're not even watching the game, they're tweeting, texting, Snapchatting. You know how it goes, right? All right, the Detroit Red Wings opened their preseason against the defending Stanley Cup champs, the Pittsburgh Penguins, with a 4-2 win last night. Mitch Callahan tallied 2 goals. Riley Sheehan, Evgeny Svechnikov each added 1. Jimmy Howard and Jared Carew split time in goal, each allowing 1 to slip past them. The Red Wings will look to keep their winning ways against Boston in their second preseason game at 7 p.m. tonight. Canada took game one of the best of 3 finals in the World Cup of Hockey last night. The Canadiens top team Europe, 3-1 behind goals from Brad Marchand.
Patrice Bergeron right up the middle. This is Bergeron trying to get away from a forward. Niederreiter passes off. Marchand scores.
Also, Steve Stamkos and Patrice Bergeron all scored in that game. Red Wings forward Thomas Tatar had the lone goal for Team Europe. The Canadians remain undefeated in the tourney and can win the World Cup of Hockey in Game 2 on Thursday night. Former Lions running back Joik Bell has signed with the Chicago Bears.
Tight formation, handoff to Bell. Sliding, got outside, and touchdown, Detroit. What a run by Joik Bell.
Yeah, how about that throwback bite, right? Joik Bell, that's a touchdown run versus Chicago in week 16 of the 2014 year. Now, the Bears needed depth in the backfield after former MSU running back Jeremy Langford and third-string running back Kadeem Carey were ruled out due to injury. For the Lions last season, Bell appeared in 13 games, rushing for 311 yards and four touchdowns. Bell recently worked out with the Lions after Amir Abdullah was injured, but the Lions decided not to sign him. Former Michigan State guard Maurice Joseph has been named as the interim head coach of the George Washington men's basketball team. Joseph played under Tom Izzo for 2 years at Michigan State until he transferred to Vermont following the 2006 season. Now, he's set to replace Mike Largan, who was fired by the university earlier this month. In a release from George Washington, Tom Izzo said that Maurice entered Michigan State as an intelligent player with great people skills and would quickly develop the discipline and toughness that will serve him well in his new role. The number 25-ranked Michigan State men's soccer team is set to take on the Bowling Green Falcons at home at 4 p.m. at DeMartin Stadium. MSU comes into today's matchup with a 5-2-0 record after just having its four-game win streak snapped over the weekend by number one-ranked Maryland. Bowling Green, though, not ranked, and has a 6-2-0 record. And last but not least, Ronda Rousey could be making her return to UFC within the next few months, according to UFC president Dana White. Now, speaking on the UFC Unfiltered podcast, White stated that Rousey wants to fight Chris Cyborg Justino. Now, Justino has been pushing for a fight with Rousey for quite some time now, but the two have never been able to agree on a weight for the match. Following White's comments, Justino went to Twitter to call out Rousey and to attempt to schedule a fight for February 5th. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR _sports. Let's start the show.
They literally can't find the ring.
Stress City.
She is looking. They're all looking for a diamond, allegedly, diamond ring.
This is such a big moment for the guy, and he fumbled the ring.
I got on my knee, pulled the ring out of my pocket, opened the box, and the ring just instantly fell down to the ground, bounced once, and I didn't know where it went.
Please find it so I can feel better right now.
My buddy Kix Brooks wrote a song called Lost and Found in a Border Town. Kind of like looking for a diamond ring. You're not getting that back.
Wait a second.
No, we made it.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Woo-hoo! After about 5 minutes of looking for it and me being really scared it was totally lost, we found it.
Right there.
Right
there. There's a spot. Right there. That's where they found
it. Bounced once and fell right into it.
That by far was one of the more epic marriage we have ever seen. One that will never be forgotten.
Say yes. Please say yes.
Way better than the game, and the Yankees get
Seattle.
Oh, I knew you weren't kidding. There was a ring.
Don't do that again.
What is up, good people? Yeah, welcome to WKER's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Folks, did you hear that bite? Before, of course, the groove kicked in. Hilarious stuff. I don't know if you guys saw this last night, but on Tuesday night, the New York Yankees, of course, took on the Boston Red Sox. And a Yankees fan by the name of Andrew Fox and his girlfriend, Heather Terwilliger, he wanted to propose to Heather. Andrew did. So, what better way to do it? They're both Yankees fans. They both had on their pinstripe jerseys. What better way to do that than at a Yankees game? So, Andrew takes out the ring and completely fumbles it, folks. Yeah, the ring falls out his hand, and it drops on the floor. And this is on live television. The cameras immediately pan to them. Everyone's freaking out trying to find out where the ring dropped. And all of a sudden, they find the ring. Heather finds it, actually, in the cuff of her jeans. So it was a hilarious scene. I don't know if you guys saw this. It's everywhere, though. The video has gone viral. Heather eventually, you know, once Andrew composed himself and got the ring back in his hands, she did say yes. They hug, they kiss, and that's a marriage proposal that many people will not forget anytime soon, okay? So, you know, I love starting the show with the best thing I saw in the last 24 hours, and that clearly wasn't even close with anything else. That clearly took the cake, all right? So I'm curious, you know, I've seen, you know, I've gone on this rant now for the last few weeks here on the show, heck, few months, to be honest with you all, about how I feel like every time I go on Facebook, I see one of three things. Either somebody I know is having a baby, getting engaged, or getting married, or have gotten married. It's unbelievable, folks. So I've seen my fair share of marriage proposals, especially this past summer. Some pretty cool ones, I might add. But I want to know, for all of our married listeners out there, how did your man? I'm speaking to all the ladies out there, I should say. I want to pinpoint all of the wives out there. How did your husband propose to you? I want to know what is the most creative marriage proposal out there, okay, from our listeners, all right? Call in. We're going to have some fun on today's show. Call in 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. I'm excited to see if we get at least one call on this one, Isaac. Moving forward now, let's talk some baseball. And let's talk about the Detroit Tigers, shall we? Oh, boy, the Tigers are in an interesting spot right now, seeing as though the Tigers just completely gave it to the Cleveland Indians last night. And, folks, the Indians have already etched their name in the playoff picture, seeing as though they won the American League Central. So, you know, Terry Francona rested all but one of his regular starters last night. So it was a lineup. It was almost like they were going against like a AAA affiliate last night. It was not the Cleveland Indians team that the Tigers have seen all year. All right? And heck, that team that we saw last night from the Indians will probably put a minor league team, lineup on top of them, okay? I mean, that wasn't the Indians we saw last night, simply put, okay? So the Tigers, yeah, I mean, you got to win that one. Simple as that. I mean, you got Justin Verlander on the mound, going against an Indians team that doesn't have any firepower in its lineup. Verlander handled business through 7 2/3 innings of work, shutout innings of work, I should say. He allowed 4 hits, striking out 12 and walking 1. And right now, JV actually leads the American League with 245 Ks this season. So with the win over Cleveland, and of course, you got Baltimore and Toronto, beating up on one another. The Orioles actually lost to Toronto last night. The Tigers pull within one of that second wild card spot in the American League. The Tigers have five games to go, and this is who they will put on the mound moving forward. You'll see Buck Farmer, Daniel Norris, and how about Nick Castellanos returning, the long-awaited return for Nick Castellanos. He actually had a pinch-hit double in the bottom of the eighth and scored a run. So you get Nick back. The question is, is it too little too late for Nick now? Five games left, though, folks. And, kicking around so many scenarios, and they can get confusing, to a certain degree when you evaluate things, because there are so many scenarios that can play out in these next few days as you have just really things are really bunched up in this whole playoff race. You got the Toronto Blue Jays, the Baltimore Orioles, the Detroit Tigers, the Seattle Mariners, and the Houston Astros all in the mix for this. And there's actually a scenario that could play out where you have a five-way tie. How crazy would that be, right? Very unlikely, but there is a chance. And, baseball has protocol for a four-way tie, but they don't have one for a five-way tie. So what would happen? I'll be pulling for that, folks. I will say this because that's never happened before. Five-way tie, what does the MLB commission do? Crazy, right? But the Tigers, if you are a Detroit Tigers fan right now, right now, on September 28th, you have to be smiling just a little bit, okay? Because you look at Toronto and Baltimore, who right now hold down those two spots in the American League, those two wild card spots in the American League, they're beating up on each other for the next 2 days. And again, last night, you saw Baltimore, they lost. And I think, I think Baltimore, if I had to throw out a prediction here, I think Baltimore loses two out of the three, which would keep the Tigers right in the mix of this thing. But again, you just never know with the Tigers, folks. Yeah, they won, 12-0 last night. They handled business against an Indians team that really doesn't care right now because they are already in the playoffs. They handled business, but, how many times have we seen the Tigers just rip your hearts right out of your chest? How many times have we seen that, right? So, we just don't know. We just don't know what to expect from this team. Even don't get fooled by the 12-0 win. But if you are a Tigers fan, the reason why I say you smirk is because you're playing an Indians team that doesn't care. And when evaluating the top two teams in the American League wild card spot right now in the Blue Jays and Orioles, again, they're playing against each other. That works out perfect for the Tigers right now. Gotta handle business. Gotta handle business. So going back, Michael Fulmer would take the mound tonight for the Tigers. Zach McAllister will be on the mound for the Indians. And just looking a bit forward here now, for the Toronto Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles, after they play one another, the Blue Jays will play the Boston Red Sox, and the Orioles will take on the New York Yankees. I think that's the easier of the two matchups when looking at the end-of-week outlook for the Blue Jays and the Orioles. So, what do you think here, folks? Five games to go, season on the line. Tigers playing a lollipop team in the Indians now that really they don't care because they're already in the playoff hunt. Golden opportunity for this Tigers team. I'm sticking with my guns. This team is so unpredictable. They've been so up and down this year. I'm still sticking with my guns and saying that the Tigers don't make the playoffs. But I can see how many of you out there are clinging on to hope because when you look at the numbers, it right now bodes in favor of the Tigers. But they do play an Atlanta Braves team that has been on quite a roll in recent games. Okay, so call in. What do you think? 517-355-WKAR 517-355-9527 to start today's show. Let's get to our first guest, who is going to break down the chances that the Tigers can make their postseason dreams come alive. We're going to invite a dear friend of our airwaves. He's joined us multiple times, and it was fantastic running into him, actually, on Saturday afternoon as the Michigan State Spartans fell to the Wisconsin Badgers. I am talking about, of course, my man, Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster and author, who now joins us on Current Sports. Rich, how you doing?
I tell you, I got to say, I think running into you, Al, on Saturday at Spartan Stadium may have been the only good thing that happened at Spartan Stadium on Saturday.
That's holy so cow. True. Yeah, and we'll man, certainly get your take on that MSU football game in just a second because
sure.
that was ugly. But I want to start with the Tigers, Rich. I just want to start really simple here. Do you think the Tigers will make the playoffs?
Well, I think they'll make the wild card game, but to me, that's not the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a one-game deal, right? It'll be the wild card game is Tuesday. If you win the wild card game, then to me you're in the playoffs because then you're in the division series. You're in the best of five.
Right.
This is just like a play-in game to make it into the playoffs.
Are you a fan of the wild card game, Rich?
No, because I just think to put everything on the line in a one-game situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think actually to actually counter the playoffs, at least make it a best of three, you know, because
right.
you can go out there, your pitcher goes out and has a rocky first couple innings, your season's over, you know, and besides, when you're taking two teams, I think basically if you take any two major league teams on any given day, you know, it's basically a coin toss who's going to win that given game, and it's even more of a coin toss, just a 50-50 proposition when you're talking about two teams who are going to be in this game that have nearly identical records. So that'll certainly be the case, be it the Detroit and Toronto or Detroit and Baltimore or whomever winds up getting in. And right now, Toronto, they've got the number one wild card, and they would have home field advantage for the wild card game. It's a real horse race, though, between Detroit and Baltimore with just one game separating them. And you look at it, Cleveland, you were right. They did lay down. Last night, we were talking about it Saturday, and you predicted they would do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, Tigers thumped them 12-0 last night.
Right.
So if they can keep that going the next 2 days, great. But you talk about that Atlanta team. I'm sure that the New York Mets, who were a wild card out of their own over in the National League, thought they were going to have a pretty easy time of it. Or they had at least feel they were heavily favored against the Braves. And the Braves played them tough.
Mm-hmm.
In their series. There's a lot of good talent on that Atlanta ball club. A lot of people are saying that they're tooling up to have a decent ball club next year when they move into their controversial new stadium. So I don't expect the final three games in Atlanta to be easy by any stretch, although I'm feeling a bit more confident about these last two games against Cleveland. Now, you look at the other side of the equation, it doesn't matter if the Tigers win all of their remaining games, if Baltimore wins all the rest of theirs, although I suppose they could knock Toronto out. But Baltimore's got, two more left in Toronto, and then they go to New York City to play three against the Yankees. So, they've got no easy road to hoe either. So, it's going to be an interesting last week. I guess that's what it's all about. But I'm just not excited. I'm not as excited as I would be if the Tigers were doing this to if a division title and what I feel is a legitimate playoff berth were at stake.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, Rich, I mean, when you look at the whole wild card scenario here, I wasn't a big fan when former Commissioner Bud Selig, when he created that second wild card berth. I believe it was 4 years ago, right? It's really a cheap money grab. It's really a thing to feed the fanfare of baseball fans out there to watch a single game elimination, right? I mean, it's just to bring in some moolah, right?
Well, and it is, and in all fairness, they've generally been very exciting games. There was a wild card game, wasn't it? Was it last year or 2 years ago when Oakland? It might have been 2 years ago when Oakland played Kansas City. And Oakland had the big lead and late, and Casey tied him up like four runs in the eighth inning and set up the extra innings. I mean, it's a great ball game.
Mm-hmm.
And no reason to think it won't be a terrific ball game. But to me, it's playoffs with an asterisk again, just because of the one game situation. So
right.
So we'll see. But I guess being in it is better than not being in it.
Because,
theoretically, you can win that one game, get into the division series, get on a roll, and get yourself to the World Series. Once you're in, it's hard to say how things are going to turn out. I, for one, and I, 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 I don't recall anybody picking Cleveland to win this division.
Mm-mm.
I think most people, I know I thought it was going to be a battle between Detroit and Kansas City. It certainly didn't work out that way. Kansas City, well, you talk about a letdown after a championship season. They've been just pretty much dreadful all year long. And the Tigers, you know, it's always something with this ball club. That's been the case the last 4 or 5 years. There's always some facet of it that's problematic. And for the last few years, it's been the bullpen. And this year, the bullpen was actually pretty decent, but it was the starting pitching that that gave them all the problems. Nobody thought that Anibal Sanchez would have the poor performance. So he's just falling right off the edge of the earth. Nobody thought that was going to happen. You can't. We thought that Jordan Zimmerman was going to keep going the way he did for the first 2 months, but then he got hurt, and he may be on the shelf for the duration. You wonder where the Tigers would be. In fact, had not a guy that really didn't figure in their plans at all this year, Michael Fulmer, come out and had. I don't think he's going to win Rookie of the Year, but he's going to be one of the finalists for that award. He's going to get some votes.
Right.
But where would they be without him?
I'm telling you, Michael Fulmer has been absolutely fantastic this entire year. And Rich, you know, looking at the different scenarios, there's so many scenarios that can play out in the next few days here. I want to get your thoughts on this Baltimore and Toronto series. I mean, how do you think that plays out as the weekend nears? And, of course, again, you have the Blue Jays taking on the Red Sox to end the year. The Orioles will take on the Yankees, as you mentioned, and the Tigers playing the Atlanta Braves. I mean, how does the weekend look? How do you think that Baltimore-Toronto series will lead into the weekend?
Baltimore has kind of got to regain their rhythm, and they're throwing a 16-game winner out there against the Blue Jays tonight. So maybe you like their chances in the ballgame tonight. But, boy, they just finished getting – I mean, what did the Boston Red Sox just knocked them around in their last series. They've been struggling. And the thing is, for the last couple of weeks until only the last few days, Toronto themselves have been a struggling ball club. I was looking at the records of teams' records in the last 10 games,
mm-hmm.
and all three of these teams, Toronto, Baltimore, and Detroit, are either 6-4 or 4-6. So they've just been playing right around 500, and it's stayed close. So, you know, and then you got long shots in Seattle and Houston that are not mathematically eliminated, but they're another game or two back. And again, we're in a situation now where virtually everybody's got six games to play.
Right, exactly. And again, you know, I even saw a scenario that I mentioned before we brought you on, Rich, where, it's a slim chance this could happen, but it'd be kind of interesting to see what happens. If it does happen, five teams could possibly be tied in this whole thing. And baseball does not have a scenario as to what will play out and how some, I guess you could say some protocol that will play out if that happens. Wouldn't that be crazy?
Well, I think that might be the best outcome of all. You talk about generating some excitement and fan interest. But I was looking at the scenario for a three-team tie, and it's one of these deals where they almost set you up like in a pool where Team A will play Team B. The winner advances to take on Team C.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy even when it's a three teams. But, yeah, if you were in a five, I have no idea how that would. I don't know if they've written rules to cover a scenario like that. That'd be hilarious.
Very true.
You got me. I'm rooting for that.
Exactly right. I'm rooting for it as well. That'd be very intriguing to say the least. Again,
sure.
Folks, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are chatting with Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster and author. So Rich, who gets in?
I think Detroit will. I do. Just given Baltimore's remaining schedule, I think the Tigers will be able to make up that game. So I'm looking. As I look at it right now, I figure it's going to be Detroit playing in Toronto in the wild card game of next Tuesday.
Okay. Does Brad Ausmus keep his job after this year, Rich?
If they make the playoffs, I think he does.
If he doesn't, you can.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about it. Les Miles loses his job right after LSU lost that ball game on Saturday,
right,
because they didn't get the snap off in time on the last play of the game that would have been the game-winning touchdown. If LSU gets that snap off in time, is Les Miles still coach at LSU?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Oh, you hear the bells? I'm talking right now. I wanted to have some fun today, so I've come to Fun Town, USA. I'm in Frankenmuth.
Oh, are you? Look at that.
Yes, those are the bells at the Bavarian village.
Wow.
So
you're everywhere, Rich.
you got to get around, man. you know?
Exactly.
Said, today, we got to have some chicken today.
Well, I tell you what, Rich, I don't want to take too much of your time. I want you to go out there and have some fun out in Freaking Moose. But I want to just briefly touch on Nick Castellanos returning. What do the Tigers get with the return of Nick? But is it too late? Is it too late?
Well, no, it's not too late. As long as – you remember when J.D. Martinez came back? And I was on the air talking to you. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's going to take him a week to get his timing back and yada, yada, yada. And he goes on to hit the dinger his first game back. If Castellanos is just ready to play, ready to step up and perform at the level he's capable of, that's huge. His loss hurt the Tigers a lot more than I thought it would, because it just seemed to me that all of a sudden they were a slow, lumbering ball club. And they got two slow, lumbering guys with Martinez and Victor Martinez and Cabrera. These guys have no speed, and it just seemed that it really affected them more dramatically than I thought would be the case. Getting him back, playing at the level that he's capable of, that could just be huge for the Tigers here.
And
you know what? Upton's playing better, so that's been a big help.
Very true, yeah. Justin Upton, he definitely is. And, you know, if anything, going back to my previous question about Brad Ausmus, if there's anything that bodes in his favor, I mean, my goodness, all the injuries that the Tigers had this season, I mean, that would allude to any manager pulling out his hair to try and figure out a certain lineup, right?
Oh, I know, and it's not always fair, and it really has. They always say, well, you can't make excuses, it's next man up. Hey, listen, you know, if it were that simple, it wouldn't essentially wouldn't matter who you have on your roster. Of course you're going to have a drop off when you go to your second string guy, when you're calling guys up from the minors, and when you're patching together a starting rotation the way they've been forced to do this year. But the expectations were high going into the season. They are high. They're high. These last 5-6 years, the expectations have been high each and every year. He's had three whacks at it, and as we talk right now, he hasn't achieved the goals that have been set. But however, you know, you're right. Do you how much you factor in the fact that it's been out of his control? So I would, you know, I'd say that's pretty much a coin toss as to whether he's back or not. And I think that holds whether or not they make it to the postseason. If by postseason you're talking about the wild card game, like for example, that's why I brought up Les Miles. Do you keep him as manager if they win a wild card game and then lose in the first round?
Exactly.
If they don't make the wild card game, then do you still keep him then? I think this next week or two, most important for Ben Ausmus, Brad Ausmus, excuse me, his entire career.
Yeah, and I think that goes right into what you just brought up when it comes to expectations. I mean, this is a ball club that's had very high expectations to win a World Series. I mean, the highest of high expectations, and they haven't nipped at it. I mean, and that has to play a huge part in that conversation as well.
Right, and they're starting to run out of kicks at that particular can, given the lineup they've got right now. And I'm not so sure that Mike Ilitch is really wild about spending a ton more money on his ball club. He's got the new hockey arena opening. That's going to be a big focus. And you may see a shift away from spending on the Tigers to spending on the Red Wings. But then again, he may be thinking, you know what? People are going to be coming to see the hockey team just because we have the new arena for the next few years. So maybe there's not as much of a need to pour resources onto the hockey side of the operation. Hard to say exactly what's going through his mind at this time.
Very true. All right, well, I'll tell you what, Rich, as the year moves along here, we got to get you back on and talk about the Detroit Red Wings as, of course, they opened up absolutely. Preseason play last night. How's that sound?
That sounds good to me. Hey, one thing about the Spartans, though. I was a lot more worried when I got home after the game Saturday and I watched the end of that Duke-Notre Dame game.
Right.
I felt pretty good about the Spartans when they beat Notre Dame. Then you see Duke beating them, and you're thinking, geez, was it that big a deal that MSU beat them? So this is a big game for them at Indiana. It's a good test.
What do you think about Tyler O'Connor? How short is that leash on Tyler O'Connor now?
I don't think he's going to prove to be the issue. Thing that surprised me, I think, the defense being unable to stop a redshirt freshman quarterback was number one. Mm-hmm. And then Tyler did not have a very good football game. But Connor Cook went through a stretch there early in his career where he didn't have a lot of good football games. But he developed. I'm not as worried about quarterback as I was, for example, the Spartans' inability to run the football against Wisconsin. You don't expect to see that by any FSU team. And why was it that LJ Scott got all the carries on Saturday, and we didn't see Holmes had like one carry, right?
One carry.
D'Antonio, usually it's running back by committee where you've got three solid running backs getting a good number of carries. Well, it struck me as odd that we didn't see that on Saturday. I should have asked about it in the post game, but I didn't.
Well, I tell you what, as this team moves along now to play Indiana, I think this will be a good rebound game. But don't sleep on Indiana. I mean, this is a team against Wake Forest. Even though they lost that game, that offense was able to put up a lot of points.
Yeah, they're gaining a ton of yards. It frightens me a little bit. I think if MSU loses this game to Indiana, then you've got some cause for real concern. So we'll see how she goes.
All right, Richard Kincaid, Detroit sports broadcaster and author. Rich, always good chatting with you, my man.
I enjoyed it, Al. Thanks so much.
You got it. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will, of course, dive into Michigan State football and talk about what Michigan State must do in order to get back on a winning track against Indiana. We also hope to chat with Dr. Joseph Parent, PGA Tour instructor, who will weigh in on the death of Arnold Palmer. That and more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished up a chat with Detroit sports broadcaster and author Richard Kincaid, centered on the Detroit Tigers. The Tigers, again, they pull within one with a win over the Cleveland Indians last night. Just a 12-0 romping of a Cleveland team that has already clinched its respective division. The Tigers are within one game. Again, they are competing for that spot against the Toronto Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles, who are currently playing against one another. Rich had some very candid thoughts on the Tigers as the weekend progresses here. And I want to know what you think, because this is the Detroit Tigers team that you just really can't put your finger on. They've been so inconsistent in so many different areas when it comes to starting pitching. When it comes to run support, the bullpen has been shoddy at times. I will say, though, K-Rod, he's been a shining light, though. I think K-Rod has had a very good year. But you just don't know what you're going to get with the Detroit Tigers. So I want to know what your thoughts are. Do you think the Detroit Tigers at least clinch a wild card berth here? 517-355-WKAR. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Shifting gears now, we want to invite our second guest here on the show. His name is Dr. Joseph Parent. He has coached the mental game in business, life, golf. Get this, for more than 30 years, folks. A distinguished PGA Tour instructor, he has worked with major champions and many other top professionals. He has the singular distinction of coaching both a man and a woman in Vijay Singh and Christy Kerr to the number one world ranking. How many people can say that, right? He is also an author, and I tell you what, he does so much, folks, and it's always great chatting with him. And of course, we want to invite him to the show to weigh in on the really shocking news that occurred on Sunday night concerning the death of the king, Arnold Palmer. It is now my pleasure to welcome to the show Dr. Joseph Parent to Current Sports. Dr. Parent, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Al. Good to talk to you.
Always good chatting with you, my friend. First off, I want to start with the reaction. What was your reaction upon hearing that that Arnold Palmer had left us?
Well, you know, it was a tremendous sadness. It actually even surprised me because I started to tell my wife about it, and I started to cry. And it was as if I was telling her that my own grandfather had died. Mm-hmm. That's how close Mr. Palmer made you feel to him, with no effort whatsoever. He was really amazing. I first met him at the tap room at Pebble Beach, which is the the bar and pub that they have there in the lodge, and saw him sitting, he and his wife with another couple. They'd gotten their drinks, they'd ordered their food, but they didn't have their food yet. And I said, if I'm going to meet him, this is my opportunity. And I went over and I said, excuse me, Mr. Palmer, so sorry to interrupt. I'd like to be able to get you a copy of my book, Zen Golf, and I just wanted to be able to meet you. And instead of saying, yeah, just send it to my office, I'm busy here, you know what he said? He said, do you have a card? He asked me for a card.
Wow.
And I gave him my card, and he looked at it, and he said, this is really interesting. And he handed it to the other gentleman that he was having dinner with. And he said, look at this. This is really interesting. And he thanked me for coming over. He said, thank you so much for coming over. I look forward to receiving Zen Golf, to receiving your book. And how many people of his stature, how many people of any stature, thank you for coming over and interrupting their dinner.
It was
unbelievable, and it matches every story that you hear about him, how gracious, how giving, how welcoming, and he immediately felt like you were friends. And I don't think there's anybody else in the world who had 10 million people who all thought they were his friend.
And, you know, it's interesting you bring that story up, Dr. Parent, because I wanted you to tell it because I know that you've gotten a chance to meet Arnold, and I hadn't heard the story yet up until now. And again, as you just stated, it's like those stories that you hear from other people that have you know, had encounters, one-on-one encounters with the great Arnold Palmer. I mean, he was so personable. You know, when he was out at the gallery signing autographs and meeting people, I mean, he looked you directly in the eye and he took his time and he made sure that the autograph was legible. I mean, you hear these stories just about how personable and how much of a friendly tone that he approached so many people with. That had a lot to do, I'm sure, and it definitely was genuine, first off. But it also had a lot to do with Arnold feeling as though he was an ambassador for the game, growing the game of golf. Can you just speak on how Arnold Palmer grew the game of golf throughout his tenure as a player and even years after that?
Well, I think what's often mentioned is that these values were instilled in him from his father.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciated one story where he was being escorted. He'd won a tournament, and he was being escorted out and driven over to a place, and his dad was in a cart, and his dad was walking along behind, and they came to a place where the non-spectators could walk through, and the policeman, the policeman or the marshal stopped his dad, and Arnold said, it's okay, you can let him through, he's with me. And his father chewed him out for it. He said, don't you ever, ever use your status or your celebrity to take advantage of situations. I mean, talk about humility. I think that, you know, that's really, really where he learned it from his father. And there was a story about him playing at his home course at Latrobe.
Mm-hmm.
And Pella told me the story that it happened to him. He was driving by, and he saw him from the road. And he said, I can't not stop. I know you're sort of impelled. You're so drawn to him. And he walked out to the edge of the fairway, and he said, Mr. Palmer. And he waved him over. And he said, I just saw you, and I've always wanted to meet you. I really appreciate it. He stopped his round in the middle of the round and shook hands with the guy. And you know what Arnold Palmer said?
What's that?
Do you have a camera in the car? Do
wow.
you have a camera in the car? Why don't you go get it and we'll do a picture? Come on.
Man.
You have got to be kidding. That is so over the top, going out of your way to appreciate the fact that people appreciate you. And if you want to talk about growing the game, the quality of his charisma, and nobody could walk down a fairway with 5,000 people lining each side, and every single person swore that he made eye contact with them.
Mm,
that's
mm-mm.
what his capabilities were. So And he was the first figure in the television era that drew people to golf. So this was huge. You know, they talk about what Tiger did for the game, or, you know, as far as physical fitness and, mm-hmm. and purses and all of that. But it was Arnie that changed it, because when people saw him on TV with his swashbuckling style and his charm and that charisma and clearly a working man and not above the crowd. He was part of the crowd. It was like he was expressing the energy of the crowd rather than he was above it. And that's what everybody loved about him so much. He never made you feel like he was above you or more important than you. And very few people in the world have ever done that. Now, you know, Ali touched a lot of lives. Great people touched a lot of lives. But I can't imagine anybody bringing more people to tears than the passing of Arnold Palmer.
Folks, if you're just now joining us here at WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Dr. Joseph Parent, PGA Tour instructor, about the life and legacy of Arnold Palmer, who, of course, passed away. The news getting to the public on Sunday night. Now, Dr. Parent, you brought up just how personable and how charismatic Arnold Palmer was, and one of the reasons why people gravitated towards him. What made him such a dynamic golfer? And, you know, watching the vintage footage over the last few days and all the tributes toward Arnold Palmer, I thought it was pretty cool. I mean, he was one smooth operator. If you look at some of those images, I mean, he's sitting there leaning on his clubs. He's got a cigarette in his mouth. I mean, just one cool guy. What made him such a dynamic golfer?
We can think of him as the James Dean of golf, you know?
Right, I like that.
that's really what he was like. As far as a dynamic golfer, you know, if you think of Pittsburgh, what's the name of the it's a steel town, mm-hmm. right? The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
And he was from the Pittsburgh area, and people say he had the hands of a blacksmith. And that's how he pounded the ball, like a blacksmith pounding iron on an anvil. And that was what you saw when he hit the golf ball. He slashed at it. He was not a smooth swinger. He was a pounder of the golf ball. And it was a force of will that he was determined. I was listening to Jack Nicklaus talk about it. He said that Arnold could will the ball in the hole, that was why he was such a great putter, and people overlook that part of his game. But his putting was extraordinary, given the conditions of the greens in those days, and what he could accomplish, and that's really what it came down to. Now, we talked about, you know, I'm best known for my book Zen Golf, mm-hmm. and my latest book is called How to Make Every Putt, and the key to putting is confidence. And that's where Arnold soared above everybody else, that it wasn't like, I need to make this putt. It was like, I'm gonna make this putt. And nothing is gonna stand in the way of that. And that intensity of focus and will was what made him such a dynamic and powerful golfer.
Dr. Parent, how does Palmer stack up against golf's other greats, I should say, specifically Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus? Where does Arnold Palmer stack up when you list golf's Mount Rushmore, if you will?
Well, there's a story that I can't remember how this started. Let's see. It's God comes to Arnie and Jack one time in a vision, and he says, I'm going to tell you the future. Jack, you'll be unsurpassed in the game. No one will ever play it like you. And he says, but Arnie, they'll always love you the most. And now he was 10 years older than Nicklaus. Mm-hmm. And everybody loved Arnie. And when Jack came on, they really resented him. And Jack said something interesting. He said, I often had to fight against Arnie's army, but I never had to fight against Arnie. They were gentlemen competitors, fierce competitors. All they wanted to do was beat each other. And in fact, I think that Jack and Arnie both would have won more tournaments if they weren't so fiercely playing against each other. And, mm-hmm. and Jack talked about it. He said sometimes we'd be so concerned with beating each other, we'd forget that there were other people in the tournament, and they'd go by us. You know,
right.
We'd be beating each other's brains out and both shoot 73s, and somebody went out and shot a 69 and took first place.
Right,
so,
right.
So that, their fierceness of rivalry, and I got a sweet note from Barbara Nicholas when I sent my condolences. Mm-hmm. And she's one of the best people in the world as well, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, Arnie was always there for us, and we were always there for him. And that's so Jack and Arnie, no matter how they competed, they were really true friends. I think that Jack's power and excellence in playing the game shocked Arnie and other people in the golf world a little bit, and just for a tiny bit rattled his confidence. And Mr. Palmer, he played so much from heart and so much from confidence that if that wasn't there fully, then he wasn't going to get the most out of his game. So I think Jack's ability and prowess undermined what Arnold could have accomplished a little bit. But together and along with Gary Player, they were the big three, and I don't know if you'll ever have a big three like that again.
Before we get you out of here, Dr. Perrin, I want to ask this question to you, looking at the bigger picture of golf. In what ways has the game changed for the better and the worst over the years?
Well, you know, one of the things that Arnold Palmer did was bring sports marketing. He really was the start of intensive sports marketing, along with Mark McCormick, which is now IMG.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought so much more money into the game. I mean, he was 87 years old, and he was still making $30 million a year in endorsements.
It was crazy, right? Yeah.
So 50 years, 40 years after he won his last golf tournament. So on the PGA Tour. So he really changed the game in that way of the amount of money that he brought in. Everybody owes their paycheck these days and their endorsement contracts to Arnold Palmer. And I think that his appearances on television made it a sport for television. And by the way, Arnold Palmer started the Golf Channel.
Yeah, he did. I didn't even know that until Scott Van Pelt.
His impact was utterly huge throughout the game. But, you know, along the lines of Bobby Jones, he was the next one to bring that kind of honor and gentleman quality to the game. While, you know, he was the swashbuckling pirate, but he was also the tremendous gentleman about everything about the game. And that changed it. That, as long as that continues, then that legacy continues the game for the better. And one can only hope that the money part of the game does undermine that, because, you know, it's not as much a group of guys going around and playing golf because they love the game. It's become a profession, and I hope that none of the professional golfers out there today lose track of their love of the game and are worried more about the money. If you play golf for the love of the game, the money will take care of itself.
That is so important. All right. Well, and again, to bring up your point about the Golf Channel, Scott Van Pelt, who formerly of the Golf Channel, that's how Scott first got his big start in sports broadcasting before going to ESPN.
Right.
Scott, I didn't even know that Arnold Palmer had started the Golf Channel until Chris Berman and Scott Van Pelt sat down that evening and Scott talked about how it was referred to among colleagues at the Golf Channel, you know, Arnold Palmer's Golf Channel, which is pretty cool. And, hey, you know, another thing about the money, I mean, Arnold Palmer earned close to $1 billion during his career. Unbelievable stuff. Well, Dr. Joseph Perrin, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. And, again, you mentioned your two books. How can people read your work? How can people get those books?
All you have to do is go to zengolf.com. You'll see all the books and can order them. So, and I record my own books. So if you're not a reader, you can listen to them. And now you know what my voice sounds like.
There you go.
Zengolf.com. It's all there.
Dr. Joseph Perrin, PGA Tour instructor and author. Doc, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Al. You take care.
You got it. All right, let's take a brief second break. Less than 5 minutes left. When we come back, we will put a bow on this baby. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Well, just 3 minutes left here in the show. I want to read just one comment here from our Facebook page. Again, facebook.com/currentsports. Steve Spear says, how about Tim Tebow smashing a homer on the first pitch he saw in the instructional league? I saw that video, Isaac. And again, I'm not going too crazy about it. I mean, it's the instructional league first off. But pretty impressive. Tim Tebow, you know, he may not be everybody's favorite football player because we all know how his NFL career panned out, right? Or didn't pan, how that didn't pan out. And him, I kind of scoffed at him trying to go the whole MLB route and, you know, get his feet wet in the sport of baseball. He was a baseball player back in college. Just want to note that. But I'm not going too crazy over this. I mean, impressive, I guess. But we won't see Tim Tebow on an MLB roster at all, okay?
It's a cool moment. And that's all the stock that you can throw into it because it was something fun to watch. It's going to make social media blow up, and rightfully so. But at the same time, it's just like Michael Jordan in baseball. Tebow's a football player. Jordan's a basketball player. Let's leave it at that.
Definitely. Well, I tell you what, Isaac, we haven't heard from you much this show because we had two guests, of course, with Richard Kincaid, and we just finished chatting with Dr. Joseph Perrin. We will continue this conversation on tomorrow's show, though. I want to know, who are your – just give me your top two Heisman candidates right now. I already know who number one is because I think he's number one in many people's minds. But what's another name that can be thrown in that mix?
Lamar Jackson's definitely number one. And if he isn't the notable number one for every single – sports writer or voter across the nation, that's absurd.
Right.
But there's a long season ahead. Another name that I'd throw in there is Christian McCaffrey. Just like always, those are my top two.
Don't forget about Greg Roark Jr., quarterback at Houston. And I also would throw in even JT Beard at Ohio State.
I think all of those are fair.
Definitely. Lamar Jackson, though, clearly leading that
right
race.
Now.
Definitely. All right, folks. Well, we are out of time here on this Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Again, much thanks to Richard Kincaid as well as Dr. Joseph Parent for joining us on today's airwaves. We'll see you tomorrow. You have been listening to WKAR's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.